Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Here and Now, the Dawlish and Teignmouth Area Talking Newspaper. Today is Friday, the 9th of January 2026, and we are the Yellow Team, and we would like to wish you all a very happy new year. And this is the first recording from Here and Now for 2026. And I'm joined by three readers from our team for this week's programme, so let's meet them.
Hello, I'm Lynn Yates.
Hello, I'm Linda Bowman.
Hello, I'm Anne Hatcher.
Before we bring you this week's news from the Dawlish Gazette and Teignmouth Post, I've got some notices for you for your diaries. So, here we go. Right. At Dawlish Shaftesbury Theatre, the pantomime Cinderella is showing until the 17th of January. And the phone number for Dawlish Shaftesbury Theatre is 01626 863 061. That's 01626 863 061. And at the Teignmouth Pavilions, on the 13th of January at 2:30 and 7:30, there is a film, Nuremberg, with Russell Crowe, Michael Shaiman and Rami Malek. And also on the 15th of January at 6:45 at Teignmouth Pavilions, they're showing La Traviata from the Royal Opera House. And the phone number for Teignmouth Pavilions is 01626 249 049. That's 01626 249 049. And also, Teignmouth Film Society will be at the Shaftesbury Theatre in Dawlish for a film on the 23rd of January. That's a Friday. And the film starts at 8 p.m. And the film is One Life, the story of Nicholas Winton with Anthony Hopkins. And tickets are £5 on the door. Now, on Tuesday the 13th of January, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Dartmoor Halfway Inn for lunch. And that's £12.50. And on Wednesday the 14th of January, Cofton WI meet at St Mary's Hall, Dawlish Warren at 2:30 for some very gentle exercise entitled Seaside Fun. On Tuesday the 20th of January, Dawlish Community Transport are going to Trago Mills and the cost for that is £12.50. And on Wednesday the 21st of January, Holcombe Garden Society meet at the Village Hall at 2:30 for a talk by Beg Candlish. And the phone number for Dawlish Community Transport is 01626 88890. That's 01626 88890. And finally, on Saturday the 24th of January, Dawlish Garden Society are having a coffee morning at the Manor House in Dawlish. All are welcome, and it's between 10 and 12. And that's all the notices. Here are this week's headline stories. Happy New Year, happy new roadworks. Objections mount against Teignmouth Lower Point toilets. An MP joins fight against developer dropping social housing plans. And now to our first story from Lynn.
My first story is Christmas lunch at the Strand Centre. More than 100 people sat down to enjoy a traditional turkey Christmas lunch at the Strand Centre in Dawlish on Christmas Day. Many of those tucking into the meal with all the trimmings would otherwise have been alone. The event was made possible thanks to individuals and businesses, including restaurant Ducky Delish, which donated the turkey and sprouts. Centre manager Paul Lentil was in charge of the cooking with helpers and table servers who served up the food. The event also included musical entertainment and a visit from the Mayor of Dawlish, Anthony James, and Father Christmas. The organiser of the event was Marie Whitehead. And I've got two photographs of this event. The first one is everybody tucking into their Christmas lunch, looking as if they're really having a good time. And the second photograph is the mayor and I think the lady mayoress, the lady who organised the event, Marie Whitehead, and Paul Lentil, who took over the cooking.
Hello, my first article is entitled Alice Cross Centre Shares Christmas Cheer with Feast. Around 60 Teignmouth residents who might otherwise have been alone on Christmas Day were treated to a festive lunch at the Alice Cross Community Centre, thanks to fundraisers and volunteers. Guests enjoyed a two-course Christmas dinner, entertainment and gifts. The annual event was made possible thanks to fundraising activity, meal sponsorships and a £1,000 donation from the John Lewis Partnership in Exeter. Volunteers drove, cooked, served, performed, welcomed guests, stayed behind to clear away, and even helped cover volunteer chef Dave Matthews after he was called away to assist Timoth RNLI at the tragic incident in Badley Salterton. Alice Cross General Manager Peter Howell thanked all the supporters and volunteers involved for giving their time, love and joy to put on the Christmas Day lunch. There was laughter, warmth, connection and so much love shared, she added. And there are quite a few photographs, and the predominant feature is it looks as though they've all had the dress code for red. There's a photo of five of the volunteers, one of them dressed in a very Christmassy red dress with a white furry edge to it. There's another photo with all the balloons and lanterns above all the guests who were sitting at their tables with their paper hats on. Viv Wilson is seated at the piano and obviously was playing a part in the entertainment. And there's a lovely photograph of a lady called Davida, who is 104 years old, and she was obviously enjoying her Christmas lunch too. And there's another photo of Viv Wilson holding her dog and two of the other participants who are obviously enjoying the food as well. And last of all, there's a photo of Julie Dingley with her parents, who is enjoying, who resides in a care home, and thanks to the Alice Cross Centre, and her, I think her mother was in a care home as well. Sorry.
Swimmer Jane's 12 Dips Chilli Challenge. A Dawlish swimmer has been braving the chilly seas to raise money in December. Jane Barclay's 12 Dips of Christmas challenge has raised almost £250 so far for prostate cancer research. Jane, 70, moved to Dawlish last year and started taking swims in the sea. She explained, "I began appreciating the joy of easy access to the sea. Depending on tide and wind conditions, I swim from the two town beaches, Boat Cove and Corriton Cove. Sometimes I join one of the always welcoming groups of swimmers. Sometimes I swim on my own, depending on my mood and the time of day."
Wetherspoon's boss drops in for a festive tipple. Drinkers in a Tynmouth pub were treated to a Christmas Day audience with the founder of the Wetherspoons chain after he dropped in for a festive drink. Sir Tim Martin visited the Jolly Breeze at around 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, December the 25th, of course Christmas Day, to catch up with the staff and managers. His famous haircut soon attracted the attention of customers and he happily posed for photographs. "He was really friendly and came down and sat with us for a chat," said customer Tony Daniels. "Several people spoke to him," he added. Sir Tim, who lives near Exeter, was knighted 2 years ago for his services to hospitality and culture, and he's well known for visiting the pubs in his Wetherspoons chain as part of his commitment to the company and its customers. And there's a very nice photograph there of Sir Tim sitting down with his haircut and two customers, Tony Daniels and Debbie Smith, all enjoying a drink on Christmas Day.
Dawlish MIU is facing a further week-long closure. Health chiefs have announced another week-long closure of the minor injuries unit at Dawlish Community Hospital. The temporary closure will be until Monday, January the 12th, according to Torbay and South Devon NHS Trust. Anyone with an urgent but not life-threatening injury or condition is advised to visit the Urgent Treatment Centre, the UTC, at Newton Abbott Community Hospital, or the Minor Injuries Unit, MIU, at Totnes Community Hospital, which remains open. A spokesman said, "We sincerely apologise for any inconvenience this may cause, and thank you for your understanding. The unit has been closed intermittently for the last year. In November, it was closed for 2 weeks consecutively. Trust bosses have said previously the closures are due to staffing issues, which have meant the unit cannot provide safe staffing levels. A trust spokesman said on a previous occasion the unit was shut. Since Dawlish Minor Injuries Unit reopened in April 2024, we've experienced low attendance rates and ongoing staffing challenges to provide a safe and consistent service. Our attempts to recruit and use agency staff have been unsuccessful, resulting in us making difficult decisions to temporarily close the MIU at short notice and moving staff to our urgent treatment centre in Newton Abbott. We recognise the disruption this has caused, but ensuring safe staffing levels is our priority. There are fears locally that the continued closures will lead to a permanent loss of the facility. NHS England has set out a national requirement that minor injuries units should no longer be offered as standalone services by April. The Trust says NHS Devon is reviewing MIUs and UTCs across Devon. No decisions have been made about any of the services yet, including Dawlish. And I've just got one photograph with this article, and it's of the entrance to the injuries unit at Dawlish Hospital.
Happy New Year, happy new roadworks. Parents and residents braced for a road closure. Parents and residents in Dawlish were braced for further disruption with the restart of work by South West Water. The company, which is midway through a multi-million pound project currently aimed at improving water quality, was due to resume work in Elm Grove Road on January the 6th, just as schools returned after the Christmas holiday. The road, which is home to Dawlish College and Gatehouse Primary School, was due to be subject to a one-way system and a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. Work in this area should have been carried out in the school summer holidays, but was delayed following the discovery of an unmapped gas pipe. The work is expected to continue until the end of March and involves surface water separations works being carried out near Dawlish College. South West Water says road entrances and exits will be manned during school pick-up and drop-off times. In a letter to residents, the water company said, "We will do all we can to minimise any disruption." However, on-street parking will be restricted and some properties may not have vehicular access to their driveway during this time. Work has stopped over Christmas and New Year across all the sites in and around Dawlish, except Westcliff Road, which will remain closed until January the 18th. On January the 5th, tank construction work was expected to resume on the lawn at Sandy Lane and in Brook Street. And in February, South West Water plans to carry out work in Piermont Place, which will require a diversion on the A379 with four-way traffic lights in place. County Councillor Rosie Dawson said the Elm Grove road work had to be done because of an unmapped gas pipe had prevented work during the summer holidays. She explained, "From starting the discussion at total road closure, myself and the school have pushed for an improved and fully manned plan, including a one-way system that would allow a slow but continuous flow of traffic at school times and continued essential deliveries. If South West Water stick to the proposal, it would involve their personnel at several points in the scheme during those busy periods to ensure the movement of traffic and the safety of children. If they aren't granted this time, it will result in a delay in the whole scheme completion, which nobody wants." In a letter to parents, Dawlish College head teacher Sam Banks said, "The school and Ivy Education Trust have been consulted on the disruption, and we have been engaging to try to secure the least worst situation for our staff, students, families and other residents. The overall scheme is aimed at reducing the use of storm overflows and helping improve water quality in local rivers and the sea. Storm overflows are typically used when heavy rain overwhelms the system. Underground tanks on the lawn and at Sandy Lane should provide capacity so that more wastewater can be stored at times of heavy rainfall than treated, reducing the reliance on storm overflows in Dawlish. Work is scheduled to be completed by May 2026, and there's just one photograph of Dawlish Community College.
Care Home honours long-serving carers. Carers at a Dawlish care home have been recognised for their long and dedicated service. Three staff members at Sefton Hall have clocked up more than 40 years and were among those rewarded by owners Southern Healthcare. Team members who reach a long service milestone receive a letter thanking them for their service, are awarded additional annual leave, and presented with a certificate and a gift voucher. Those recognised were Andrea Viru, 10 years, and Alison Adair and Penny Truswell, both 15 years. Andrea added, "Receiving a 10-year long service award is very special to me. It reminds me how much I have grown both professionally and personally at Sefton Hall. Over the years, I have become more confident, resilient and self-aware, and I have developed stronger communication and leadership skills. I truly enjoy working here because of the supportive team, the meaningful relationships with our residents, and the difference we make every day." Also in attendance was Glenys Cleave, who started at Sefton Hall more than 43 years ago and continued her career with Southern Healthcare when they bought the home 21 years ago. The group, which also has homes in Exeter, Plymouth and Seaton, invited team members to an event celebrating long service milestones from 5 to more than 20 years. Southern Healthcare also honoured 4 nurses at the award ceremony held at the company's training centre in Dawlish. The nurses, Philip Adams, Francis Agay, Philip Yeboah and Cosmin Lupoy, completed an advanced diploma in adult social care nursing, co-written and launched by Southern Healthcare's Director of Nursing and Compliance, Margot Whittaker, in partnership with the University of Greater Manchester. Geoffrey Cox, Managing Director of Southern Healthcare, and his wife and business partner, Margot, expressed their gratitude to the team, commending their passion and dedication. He said, "Our incredible team members excel in providing outstanding care for our residents as well as supporting each other. Southern Healthcare has built a strong reputation for incredible work our teams do, and we deeply value them."
Veteran raises funds for Dawlish Wildlife. Royal Naval veteran Richard Hayward has launched his latest Dawlish badge, this time to raise money following the avian flu outbreak. Funds from the sale of this new badge will go towards the waterfowl appeal, launched after up to 50 birds were humanely culled, having tested positive for the deadly virus. The badges, for a donation of £3 each, are available from Presents, Puzzles Sweet Shop and Home Kitchen on Beach Street. The latest badge is the third Richard has made for wildlife in Dawlish, bringing his total to 17. 10 for the Poppy Appeal, 2 for the Dawlish Charity Aims, and 1 each for the Strand Centre and Dawlish Community Transport. Richard said, "I would like to say a big thank you to the businesses who helped me to raise the funds." He has spent 10 years creating special Dawlish themed badges, raising more than £23,000.
MP joins the fight against developer dropping social housing pledge. Attempts by a housing developer to wriggle out of its obligations to provide affordable housing
are coming under increasing fire with town councillors and the local MP criticising the move. Harrington Homes asked Tonbridge District Council to waive its Section 106 responsibilities for the Tinbrook site on Higher Exeter Road, Tynmouth, in October, because it claimed the costs would make the site financially unviable. The Section 106 obligations include a condition for 25% of the housing on the site to be allocated as affordable, and a requirement to financially contribute to local community through education, sport, transport and biodiversity funds. However, local MP Martin Wrigley has slammed Harrington Homes for trying to get out of its responsibilities, and a group of councillors has submitted a motion urging Tynmouth Town Council to call on Tonbridge planning officers to keep all the Section 106 obligations that were agreed when planning permission was granted. And I have a photograph here of the Harrington Homes development above Tynmouth. It does look a beautiful spot, actually.
Service certificate for RNLI volunteer. A volunteer with Tynmouth Royal National Lifeboat Institute has been recognised for her loyalty and efforts as fundraising treasurer. Debs Moore was awarded a certificate of service as she stepped down from the role to move closer to her family. The certificate was presented by fundraising chair Wendy Richards Wood, who thanked Debs for her hard work, dedication and commitment to volunteering and wished her all the best for the future. Debs had been a highly valued member of the team and has worked closely with her successor, Helen, to ensure a smooth handover, helping everything to continue to run seamlessly, a Tynmouth RNLA spokesman said. Debs added that a certificate recognising her service meant a great deal to her and thanked everyone for their kindness and support. And there's a photograph of Debs holding her certificate, and it looks as though she's actually at home in her kitchen.
Young Hero supports Tynmouth Food Bank. A 10-year-old boy from Tynmouth has given struggling families a very special Christmas gift after organising a massive collection for the town's food bank. Harrison Hancock, who is in Year 6 at Hazeldown Primary School, liaised with the Richard Newton Community Hall and the Teen Corinthian Yacht Club to organise collection stations for Tynmouth Mutual Aid Community Larder, which provides essential food and supplies to those in need. On Wednesday, December the 17th, he delivered 25 very full bags of food to Bitton House, where they were packed up for local families and individuals. Tynmouth Mutual Aid Community Larder said it was thrilled to receive such a terrific donation as Harrison handed over his bags to the volunteers. Harrison decided to support the food bank after talking with his family about the difficulties some people face at this time of year as they balance the costs of gifts with rising heating, lighting and food bills. He was so moved by the role that Tynmouth Mutual Aid Community Larder plays in the town that he opted to support the charity as part of his efforts to achieve the Torbay and Devon Civic Award. But rather than just organising a collection among friends and family, he approached the Richard Newton Community Hall to see if they could help. He bravely spoke in front of the hall committee, trustees and representatives from the community groups and clubs that use the facility to explain what Tynmouth Mutual Aid Community Larder does and to request permission to set up collection stations in the building. The hall committee agreed and sent out an email to all groups encouraging contributions. Harrison's efforts soon gained wider attention, and the Teen Corinthian Yacht Club offered to host an additional collection station. Tynmouth Mayor Councillor Kate Williams was hugely impressed by Harrison's efforts. "Harrison has gone above and beyond in his efforts to achieve the Torbay and Devon Civic Award," she commented. "His actions embody the true spirit of the award, community, compassion and leadership. And there's a nice photo of the young lad Harrison standing with the mayor, Kate Williams, and Jackie Jackson from the community larder.
Objections mount against Tynemouth Lower Point toilets. A second planning application for a new toilet block in Tynemouth Lower Point car park has received over 30 comments of objection. Tynemouth Town Council initially obtained planning permission for the new toilet block in August 2022. However, the three-year authorisation lapsed in August 2025. So Tynemouth Town Council subsequently submitted another application in November 2025. Consultation on the current application is open until January the 13th, and Teignbridge is expected to reach a decision by the end of the month. Despite the lapsed planning, a prefabricated building has already been delivered to the car park, with work ongoing to bring the facilities online. However, residents have complained that the building has resulted in the loss of much needed parking spaces and the design is not in keeping with the conservation area. They are also unhappy that the new block only contains three toilets, while the existing block in the Point car park has eight WCs, and they are questioning why the council could not simply refurbish the existing toilet building to add an accessible toilet. Local business owners claimed they have not been consulted or been aware of the previous permissions and were unhappy about the loss of parking. Running a small seasonal business from the Point is not easy in the current financial climate, and our main reason for cancelled bookings is from customers arriving in Tynemouth and not being able to park, said Teen Boat Hire. For our council to exacerbate the problem beggars belief, it added. The toilet block in the Lower Point car park is part of Tynemouth Town Council's larger toilet project, which includes new facilities in the Eastcliff and Key Road car parks and on the Dem, as well as the refurbishment of the Lower Brook Street public conveniences. Planning permission for the toilets in the Eastcliff and Key Road car parks had also lapsed last summer, but subsequent planning applications have since been approved. The new block for the Den opposite the pier was delivered in November, with the toilets due to be open before Christmas. However, they remained behind wire fencing in early January. Visitors to the seafront and town centre have been using temporary facilities on the Den since the closure of the previous toilets when they were incorporated into the former Beachcomber, now Venus Restaurant. However, planning permission, which had already been extended, expired on December the 31st. Elsewhere in Teignbridge, many public conveniences are at risk of permanent closures as the District Council seeks to divert assets to cut costs. And there's a photograph of the lower toilets block in the lower car park, the Lower Point car park in Tynemouth. And it's being installed just in front of the existing toilets there.
Volunteers gather 18 kilograms of beach waste. Volunteers from environmental group Dawlish Against Plastic carried out their first beach clean of the year. They discovered an amount of debris thrown up by recent storms, and 15 volunteers collected 17.7 kilograms of general waste and 1.2 kilograms of recyclable waste, mostly found on the roads approaching the beaches. Among the haul was a tyre and pieces of twisted metal. A spokesman for the group said, "It is easy to assume that the summer's litter will mean that we pick up more during the summer months. In fact, the sea throws up more human rubbish onto the beaches during winter storms than we gather in the summer." Many thanks to our dedicated team, most of whom rarely miss any beach clean dates. We are always happy to welcome new people.
Prostate tests at the Rugby Club. Tynemouth Rugby Club is hosting a blood testing night to help detect prostate cancer in men aged 40 and over next Thursday, that's January the 16th. The PSA blood testing event can identify prostate diseases, including cancer, by measuring the amount of prostate-specific antigen, PSA, in the blood. The tests are being offered at a discounted price, thanks to the support from Tynmouth Rotary Club, Mole Valley Farmers and the Graham Fulford Charitable Trust. Prostate cancer affects 1 in 8 men over the age of 40 and is treatable when found early. Every year, 52,000 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer. Many have no symptoms. However, early detection increases treatment options and survival rates.
Police invite locals to discuss crime concerns. Police are encouraging the public to have their say at a meeting in Exminster in the new year. Members of the Ashburton and Chudley policing team will be at Coffee on the Corner on January the 14th. Officers will be on hand from 2 p.m. until 3 p.m. A spokesperson for the team said, "It is a chance for you to tell us about your concerns, to report crime and antisocial behaviour, and to ask about crime prevention advice, and to ask about tips about how to keep yourself safe. If you are unable to attend, please don't forget that you can report crime on our website."
And there's just one obituary this week, Michael John Cockrum. Father to Mark and Paul and granddad to Freddie, he will be greatly missed by partner Linda and family. Mike will be remembered from his time at Scott Richards and Hunt in Queen Street in Dawlish. His funeral has already taken place, but donations in his memory can be made to Devon Wildlife Trust. Any inquiries to J.H. Way Funeral Services, 01626 862 321. That's 01626 862 321.
Tonbridge residents encouraged to join park runs. People in Tonbridge are being encouraged to kickstart the new year with a boost to their well-being, as park runs are inviting everyone to join in. The Bring a Friend initiative on the weekend of January the 10th and 11th is aimed at sharing the inclusive, social and free experience. Haldon Forest is one of the park runs joining in the weekend. A spokesman said, "The potential benefits are endless, with recent research showing that 79% of park runners reported an improvement to their happiness, increasing to 86% for those that volunteer with parkrun, reinforcing the positive impact parkrun can have on both physical and mental health. So many people discover parkrun because someone they know invited them or recommended it to them. My friend took me on a Christmas day more than 8 years ago. Best thing that a friend could do. I have met so many amazingly kind people. I no longer run, but in 2025 I managed to volunteer 69 times between 5K and junior events. I never see it as giving because I get so much from it. Parkrun is suitable for all ages and abilities, for running, walking or volunteering." The spokesman added, "Bringing a friend not only helps grow our community, it helps people feel instantly welcome and in the longer term helps them connect with others and rediscover the joy of being active. All events are free and held every Saturday morning, and people can walk or run a 5K or 2K route, or support their community as volunteers, spectators, or just socialise. There is no time limit, and nobody finishes last, thanks to volunteers tailwalkers who provide support and encouragement on the course. Haldon Forest is one of more than 850 park runs across the country, with more than 250,000 people taking part. To find an event, go to https://www.parkrun.org/UK events. And there is just one photograph here. It looks like Haldon Forest, and all the parkrun people are smiling on a beautiful sunny day.
Complaint over taking down flags lodged with council. An allegation of a slanderous Facebook post and a row over taking down flags are among the latest complaints to be lodged against members of councils in the Teignbridge area. There were 7 complaints between October the 5th and December the 23rd last year, according to a report prepared for Teignbridge Council's Governance Committee, which meets on Thursday. 6 of the complaints were ruled invalid, while the other resulted in no further action being taken. None of the councillors complained against is named in the report. In October, an employee of a different council alleged that they were being treated differently from other members of staff, alleging bullying and disrespect in the workplace. The complaint was ruled invalid because it could not amount to a breach of Teignbridge's council's code of conduct. A member of the public alleged that a district councillor had been posting inflammatory posts about a political party and misrepresenting a motion put forward by another councillor. No further action was taken, as the matter was considered to fall under freedom of speech. An elected member of another council claimed a district councillor had encouraged and instigated theft, as some flags had been taken down in the area, alleging breaches of the code around respect, misuse of position, integrity and leadership. The complaint was ruled invalid. An allegation of a slanderous Facebook post made by an elected member against a local town or parish councillor was ruled invalid, as were complaints regarding council tax and licensing, which had been made through the wrong channels. Also ruled invalid, because it could not amount to a breach, was a complaint against a district councillor alleging that a previous complaint had not been investigated properly. The member of the public said the councillor had failed to keep them informed and also alleged harassment for saying they would report communication received to the police. And there's a photograph of Teignbridge Council headquarters at Ford House.
This may cause spontaneous pivoting. Get ready for non-stop laughs with your favourite friends when Friends the Musical Parody arrives at Torquay's Prince's Theatre next month. The hit New York and Las Vegas sensation is a side-splitting musical comedy packed with iconic moments from all 10 seasons of the beloved television series. Featuring an entirely original musical score, the show follows the escapades of the world's most famous group of 20-somethings. From the producers of Hairspray and the director of The Full Monty, this humorous take on the beloved TV show blends iconic moments with laugh-out-loud comedy. Join Rachel, Ross, Monica, Chandler, Joey and Phoebe as they navigate love, friendship, and life's ups and downs in 1990s New York City. The show runs at the Princess from February the 24th to the 28th. For ticket details, see www.atgtickets.com.
Up close and personal with Denise Van Outen. Join the fabulous Denise Van Outen for an unforgettable night of music, laughter and stories from her dazzling career when she brings her touring show, An Evening with Denise Van Outen, to South Devon's Babbican Theatre early this year. With timeless songs and behind-the-scenes tales, it's a changed Denise as you've never seen her before, up close, unfiltered and utterly unforgettable. Actress, singer, dancer and presenter, Denise Van Outen became a household name presenting The Big Breakfast on Channel 4. Since then, she's starred in a host of TV series and on the West End stage and presented numerous documentaries. Tickets for the show on March the 7th can be booked at box office on 01803 328 385 or online at www.babbicomtheatre.com.
Police Commissioner quits Conservatives. Police and Crime Commissioner Alison Hernandez has announced that she will no longer oversee Devon and Cornwall's police force as a Conservative but instead serve as an independent, without any political affiliations for the rest of her term of office. She was first elected to the role in 2016. Ms. Hernandez has said she wants to reassure police officers, staff, volunteers and members of the public the priorities set out in the Police and Crime Plan will stay the same, and that she and her team will continue their work in holding the police to account and fulfilling their statutory obligations. In November, the government announced police and crime commissioners will not be replaced when their current terms of office end in May 2028. Further police reforms are expected to be announced in the coming weeks when the government is due to publish a white paper. I have decided to step away from party politics and become an independent, said Ms. Hernandez. I believe it will enable me to fight to secure the policing resources we have in Devon and Cornwall, 43% of which is funded by all of us through our council tax. The imminent government white paper on policing worries me. Rushed timescales, work done in secret with little consultation. This feels like something being done to the police and the people, not being done with us or for us. The timing of the abolition of PCCs, again not planned, makes me anxious for our area. We cannot afford for party politics to get in the way of ensuring we all work together to get the best deal for the people of Devon, Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly. And there is just a photograph of Alison Hernandez at the end of this article.
And for our last story this week, it's entitled The Strangest Flush Devon Foreign Objects. A toy car, a dog bowl and traffic cone are just some of the strangest items found in Devon sewers, it's been revealed. South West Water's sewer inspection teams have made public some of the most unexpected foreign objects they found in 2025. Also among the bizarre finds were a trolley wheel, a hand brush, a football and even a tyre deep underground. The items are spotted during routine inspection of pipes by South West Water teams, with many detected using new AI-assisted analysis of CCTV footage. While operators are used to dealing with everyday culprits, such as wet wipes, fats, oils and greases blocking the sewers, these discoveries were harder to explain. South West Water has piloted the advanced AI technology to help teams spot unusual items. Traditionally, teams use specialised CCTV cameras lowered into pipes to record thousands of hours of footage, which technicians and office staff then manually review to locate faults, structural issues and blockages. AI systems were trained to automatically highlight objects and anomalies in the footage, reducing manual effort and helping teams identify unusual finds and potential problems sooner. Behind these strange discoveries is a serious message. Blockages caused by foreign objects can lead to wastewater flooding homes, gardens and roads, infrastructure damage and pollution of rivers and seas. In 2025, South West Water cleared 7,000 avoidable blockages from its network. Residents are asked to only flush the three P's, and if it's not pee, poo or paper, to bin or dispose of waste responsibly. Andy Pettifer, South West Water's wastewater operations manager, said, "Finding a toy car or a football in a sewer might raise a few eyebrows, but it is a serious issue that our teams are facing each year. Our sewers are designed for wastewater only, and anything else can cause blockages that affect homes, businesses and the environment." And there's some photographs of some of the various things they found, like the traffic cone, the football, the brush and the toy car, among other foreign objects, which I don't like to think about, ending up in Devon sewers. That brings us to the end of this week's edition of Here and Now, recorded at our studio in Dawlish on Friday the 9th of January, and we hope you've enjoyed the programme. If you need to contact us for any reason, the telephone number is 07376 147374. I'll repeat that, 07376 147374. Please leave your name and telephone number on the answering service and we will ring you back. Our editor this week is Jean Cole, and the copier and the dispatcher will be all of us. And the programme was produced and directed by Ian Ferguson. So it's time for us to say goodbye from our readers, Lynn Yates, Linda Bowman and Anne Hatcher.
Goodbye.
And from me, Jean Cole. Goodbye.